Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
Thinking about adding a blender to help maybe add a few things to your diet? How much to pay for a good one? Matt Granite this morning, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's Ways to Save. Matt, good morning. I tell you what, making smoothies at the house, he's awfully popular.
Art, absolutely huge this time of year. Good morning, Bill. And one of the other things, for anyone on the fence right now about a blender, I can hear you listening and you're thinking, okay, blender, I don't know if I need that. Hold on. The top blenders on the market right now are not just for smoothies. They're for shakes, pasta sauce, meat grinding, dressings, soups, marinades, cake batter. There you go.
Blenders, they're like a must in the kitchen now, right?
Absolutely. Thick dips, sticky dough. There are so many other ways that you can integrate these in your home. And the problem is, for a lot of people, they buy it once, it doesn't do the job, and then they get a little bit discouraged, and then it just collects space. So, see, instead of collecting dust, it collects space
right.
Because they consume some valuable counter real estate. So what I did is we did a bunch of tests on a way to actually make sure you can get into this whole trend without overpaying. We took five different blenders, different price points, and there was one blender that's $165 today that beat out one that was $850.
Wow.
The key is that it has to be a professional or commercial blender for it to be worth your while at a lower price. That means it's commercial grade, so the ice crushing, the blending, the pureeing, the controlled processing, it's built stronger. It pulverizes. And the big test that we did, Bill, there were two tests. One was the ice crush, and the other is if you put in all types of fruit, can the blender actually pulverize the seeds? If it can, you have a winner. And we found one.
You did.
Best in class.
Good video. And check it out at WTAM.com, keyword save. And again, you don't have to pay $800-$900 for one of these things. You got one for less than $200.
Absolutely. Crazy warranty. $164.99, I think, with free delivery.
Wow.
It's worth taking a look, because if you're someone that just wants a little bit of help in the kitchen in terms of prep, let alone eating healthier, this would be the grab that you want to make.
Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Watch him there this morning, back Monday, when he'll save us some presidents, I'm sure, on President's Day on
absolutely
some item. Feel free to use that throughout the morning with your other hits and stations.
It's great, Bill. I like it.
Matt, have awesome. A great weekend. Thanks, pal. Get sports mornings at 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. In for Mike Snyder this morning, our buddy Carmen Angelo.
And good morning to you, Bill. Tribe pitchers and catchers hit the field for the first time in Goodyear, Arizona yesterday. The Indians' starting rotation continues to be a bright spot, with returning Cy Young Award winner Corey Kluber and the rest of the troops ready to roll. Tribe President Chris Antonetti says pitching staff depth is always crucial during a 162-game campaign.
We know we're going to need more than five starters to get through a year. We have to always seek to build a roster and an organization that's deep enough to withstand any setbacks guys may have, because you know, there's no team or very few teams that go through a major league season with five or six starters. So we'll always look to try to build that group, eight or nine.
Position players due in Goodyear Sunday, first full team workout set for Monday. The Tribe's pitching depth is being tested early, as right-hander Danny Salazar has resumed throwing after suffering inflammation in the rotator cuff of his throwing shoulder. He's said to be a couple of weeks behind the current group of Indians pitchers. Chicago Cubs first baseman Anthony Rizzo is back in his hometown of Parkland, Florida, to do what he can to help. Rizzo went to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where the mass shooting that killed 17 students and faculty happened Wednesday. The 2007 grad offered his support at a candlelight vigil last night.
I am only who I am because of this community. And I just want all of you to know how proud I am to be part of this community. I want you to know that you're not alone in your grief. We're all grieving with you. The entire country is grieving with you.
Rizzo left the Cubs' spring training camp in Mesa, Arizona to return to Parkland. He was one of roughly a dozen members of the community who spoke. The Cavaliers are winners of four straight as they hit the All-Star break. The All-Star festivities play out this weekend at the Staples Center. Newly acquired Cav Larry Nance Jr. will take part in tomorrow night's slam dunk contest, while LeBron James plays in Sunday's All-Star game. The Cavs return to action Thursday night when they host the Wizards. Just a pair of games in the NBA last night before the All-Star break. Denver beat beat Milwaukee 134-123, while the Timberwolves handled the Lakers 119-111. On the college hardwood, number 8 Ohio State traveled to Happy Valley and were spanked last night by Penn State 79-56. C.J. Jackson led the way for the Bucks with 13. The Bucks fall to 22-6 overall, 13-2 in the Big Ten. Ohio State travels to Ann Arbor Sunday afternoon to take on the Wolverines. A bit of an upset last night as number 5 Cincinnati fell to the Houston Cougars 67-62. On the PGA Tour, after one round of the Genesis Open at Riviera, Patrick Cantlay and Tony Finau are the leaders at 5-under. Tiger Woods shot a 1-over-71 after round 1. Tiger says his game will only get better.
I'm not that far off to really put some good numbers out there. I got to clean up my card. Too many bogeys out there and not really worried about 11, but I made too many bogeys. And if I can just clean that up, I can start making my way up the board.
Tiger is tied for 63rd after one round of play. On the home of the Cavaliers and Indians, I'm Carmen Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Now time for an Olympic update.
Olympic update from NBC News Radio.
Here's the latest from Pyeongchang. American skier Michaela Schifrin will not be bringing home gold again in the women's slalom after becoming the youngest ever to win 4 years ago. Schifrin finished off the podium in fourth place in her favorite event. Schifrin still has the Super G and women's downhill events ahead of her. Figure skating, Nathan Chin fell again, but all three Americans are through to the men's free skate. Chin fell during the team competition earlier in the Olympics and then stumbled again in his short program and is in 17th place. Adam Rippon is 7th and Vincent Joe 12th. American Lindsay Jacob Ellis is leaving Pyeongchang empty-handed. Seeking her first Olympic gold medal, the four-time Olympian finished 4th in the women's snowboard cross event and told NBC Sports,
"It doesn't define me as an athlete. I've qualified for 4 Olympics, and like you said, I am the most decorated, and I'm still at it."
Hockey, U.S. men's team still at it, beat Slovenia 2-1 in the prelims. Olympic update, Matt Stewart, NBC News Radio.
A little more on the games from our Bill Zimfer this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Now, Bill, yesterday you were following up on this Jamaican bobsled story. Reset this, and what is the latest?
Well, while it wasn't a good day for the U.S. At the Olympic Games, it was a good day for the Jamaica women's bobsled team because, if you remember, Bill, their coach quit earlier in the week, and she owned their sled and said, "Well, if I'm out of here, I'm taking my sled home with me." So the Jamaican women's bobsled team was left without a sled. Well, I have good news. They do have a sled thanks to Red Stripe Beer. The Jamaican Beer Company said, "Hey, we'll help you out. One of those sleds goes about $50,000, but training begins this weekend. The Jamaican women are ready to go."
And the promotion the beer company gets will be well worth it, right?
You got that right. And, of course, the Jamaican bobsled teams are well known from their first encounter many years ago that resulted in a movie, Cool Runnings, if you remember this Olympics. So it'll be something interesting to watch as we move ahead. And, again, that competition begins this weekend.
Hey, one other story, the health of the athletes, I guess some concern about a norovirus in parts of the village?
Yeah, well, it has been a problem mostly among the staff at the Olympic venues. Many of the security guards had to be put in quarantine and replaced by soldiers for these Olympics. But now we have word that the Swiss athletes have been hit by the norovirus. Their freestyle skiers have been quarantined, and they're just trying to keep this under control. But we've got a week to go in these games. Could end up being a big problem.
Let's hope it's a good week for all the athletes, weekend, especially the Americans. Bill Zimfer. Bill, good stuff. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
If you're an elected official and you want to keep things the way they are and not do things differently, if you want to keep the gun laws as they are now, you will not get reelected in Broward County.
The sheriff of Broward County yesterday, speaking of elected officials,
"I thought our friends across the aisle would jump at this opportunity to fulfill what they say is their top priority. But they just couldn't take yes for an answer."
Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Kentucky, on the immigration bill. It couldn't get through the Senate yesterday. Well, they have 3 or 4 votes. Bill O'Reilly joins Glenn Beck following the news this morning, 10:06, with this and more to talk about. Fox's Chris Wallace in now. A little preview of Fox News Sunday. All this going on, what you got lined up?
Well, obviously, the school shooting in Florida. You know, we've done this all too often.
Yeah.
18th school-related shooting this year, hundreds since Columbine 19 years ago. I remember when Columbine happened in 1999, and we were all just like, it was unthinkable.
Stunned.
It never happened.
Yeah.
Obviously, it had, but we didn't sort of think of it. And now it happens, and we're, frankly, we've gotten all too good at being able to cover it, because we've been through this before. In addition, we're going to have our annual live interview with the king. You're the prince, but we're going to have one with the king of conservative talk radio, Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my.
And so that'll be very interesting, and I look forward to hearing what he has to say about all of this.
You have, you know, he doesn't do many interviews, but you and he have done these over the years,
haven't
you? Yeah,
we've gotten to be friends, and once a year he sits down for an interview. But I have to tell you, his listeners are so devoted that the first time we did it, and I'm quoting him now, he says, "I have diarrhea of the mouth," because he talks for 3 hours
sure,
every day.
Sure.
So, and you know, I've got 10 or 12 minutes, and I interrupted him, and people were emailing me saying, "Why don't you just shut up, Wallace, and listen?" So he now gives a papal dispensation and says, "It's all right, Chris, don't get mad at him. Chris is here to just, you know, cover more territory."
Hey, what is your take on just how much leverage does he have in D.C.? The representatives, are they listening to him? Are they getting calls from people about what Rush is saying?
Well, he certainly has clout, because, look, millions of people, I'm not sure that, you know, people take marching orders, but if he decides he's going to land on somebody or land on an issue, I certainly think he has the ability to mobilize his millions of supporters.
Fox's Chris Wallace. Interesting, as the news continues to play out about Florida, and, of course, in-depth of Rush Limbaugh on so many topics Sunday morning on Fox News Sunday. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Bill.
Catch Rush here today following the news at noon. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Let's talk about our teams. Bring in our buddy Terry Pluto, graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, waiting on number 9. And, of course, the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Great crowd at the library the other night. Congratulations.
Well, we had a really good time. And the amazing thing is I had, like, given a library talk about 10 days earlier. And at that point, the Cavs hadn't done anything, and everybody's all down on them. And this time, hey, when did the final start?
Good stuff. Terry on tour. Catch him at a library near you. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto and, of course, the Plain Dealer. Let me jump around a couple things. Let me start with Todd Haley Browns. You posted, look, he can help in many ways, including just making sure we get the right quarterback.
Well, I'm not sure that he's going to exactly be the drafting, but maybe how about breaking the quarterback in the right way? I think that could be where his biggest influence can be. We could look back at what happened with Kaiser and starting him from day one and the play calling, so many long passes. Maybe it would not have made a huge difference if they had played Osweiler a few games, and maybe if the play calling were a little better, it still wouldn't matter much. But I don't think there's a lot of NFL executives or coaches that will look at the way the Browns did it with Kaiser and say, that's exactly how you want to do it with a rookie.
You know, Terry, I guess I'm one of the, you know, there's probably 15 different types of typical Browns fans. I'm the one that says, you know, they can't win a game, but boy, I like these moves, the front office. I like the people that are going to be picking the groceries now, you know?
Well, they all have track records that you could get your mind around. Of course, it's going to be interesting to see if they lose some games early, because I do think from the start, I think Haley would be doing the play calling and game setting up the game general overall approach. But say they're 1-3, does Hugh Jackson grab the plays back from Haley or that? You know, those are issues there. But look, Haley's got a pretty good record not only with the Steelers but with Kansas City to an extent, calling some plays and a long record too, even of some in looking at scouting because his dad was that. And so I think his input there helps. You know, you look at Highsmith and Elliott Wolf coming from Green Bay to join John Dorsey. That's impressive. And they brought in Scott McClune, who had been a general manager before, as an advisor. So there are some things. At least you could point to these guys, say, look, I heard of these guys if you're into the NFL. They've done some things. Maybe they can actually get it right here.
Cavs at the All-Star break, final minute with Terry Pluto. You know, the Cavs may be the only team that really don't like the idea of stopping because they were on a roll,
right?
Exactly.
When you're playing like that, you want to play almost every other day. You don't want to play every single day. You like that rest in between. But I really think that there's nothing, you know, about them stopping momentum or restarting that should mess this up greatly, because you have a younger team, and I think they're just going to continue to grow. I remember when the Cavs made not quite as many big trades, but quite a number of them. In LeBron's first year, when they brought in Mozgov and Emin Shumpert and J.R. Smith, and there, I think a few other tinkers were made. I want to say they won 30 of their next 35 games. It's something like that.
I like it. Hey, great column that Terry posted about just pitchers and catchers reporting.
Yeah.
I love that. Sunday, you got something special planned for us?
Yes, I went down to Larry Nance's high school, Revere High School, and did some stuff there talking to his brother Pete is playing there.
Nice.
Some other stuff. It's just kind of cool. It's a neighborhood team coached by Dean Reyes, and so that's hopefully coming Sunday.
Senior said it's okay to wear the number, but Junior says no, that's Dad's, right?
Well, maybe next year that'll change, but I like that. That's typical Larry, too. I know he's just thrilled, not only with that, but just that, you know, I mean, like, for example, Pete Nance, the one going to Northwestern right now, he's got a 3.4 GPA.
That's up with you. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. Have a great weekend. We'll see what you post and read Sunday in the paper, okay?
Take care, guys.
Kevin Carr joins me from FatGuysTheMovies.com. Morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Before we get to the little movie Black Panther that really needs some publicity, because I don't think anybody knows it's out. Let me start with Early Man, different kind of a flick. I saw the trailer for this. Tell me about this.
Yeah, this is an Aardman animation, and they did movies like Wallace and Gromit, and they did Shaun the Sheep a couple years ago, and Chicken Run, gosh, almost like 15, 20 years ago. So they're familiar, and they have a very distinct style, stop motion, and they're British. So I like a lot of the stuff that they do. This story tells a tale about these cavemen living in this valley rather peacefully, and then these soldiers kind of from the Bronze Age meeting the Stone Age come in, and they kick them out, and in order to get their valley back, they challenge them in the arena, but not in the gladiator match, in a soccer match, or as they say in the movie, football, because of course it's a British film. And it's them trying to learn soccer so they can actually try and win the day. And, you know, it's a whimsical, sort of silly kind of film. If you like animation, you want something a little bit different than your standard stuff that you'd see either on Netflix or the stuff that's out from the American studio. Check something out that's a little bit different.
All right, Early Man. In other words, you can probably get a ticket for it. Samson also out, but let's go to the event, I think it's being called now, Black Panther. You saw it. Tell me about it.
Well, this is the story of T'Challa, who we got a taste of who he is in the Captain America Civil War movie. He shows up there in the big fight, and he's played by Chadwick Boseman as the prince of the fictional country of Wakanda in Africa from Marvel Comics. And it's about they have a mineral resource that gives them great technology, but of course they hide as a third world country, so they don't have to interact with the rest of the world. And it's T'Challa coming back to assume his place as king after the death of his father, but there's somebody forgotten from his past who is coming in to try and challenge him. And now, this is, like I said, it's a Marvel movie, so it fits that Marvel template, but since they're kind of in the third phase of doing this, they're thinking outside of the box. It's not your typical billionaire making an iron suit to fight crime like Iron Man or something like that. It's a little bit different. Most of it takes place in this African nation of Wakanda, and it has a fantastic cast featuring, I mentioned Chadwick Boseman, but Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o. It's great to see her in a movie where she's not a CGI character. And it has all the action and the story and the humor to it, but it's a very different from anything that we've seen before, just because for various cultural reasons, and it's a neat neat look into a greater expanding world of Marvel.
Yeah, it sounds like you need to buy the ticket early or get there early to get in line for Black Panther out last night and the long Presidents' Day weekend. They're looking for some huge numbers. Kevin Carr is at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Check his site out before you get out and check out a flick this weekend. Kevin, thanks much.
All right, thank you.
Jim Jones joins us this morning, Cavs legend, 1980 world champion, L.A. Lakers. Jim, morning, pal.
Morning. How you doing, Bill?
Good, buddy. LeBron is there. We're going to see a lot of him. Larry Nance Jr. in the dunk contest tomorrow night. That's all great. I just want to step back for a minute with your expertise in the league. As we get to the All-Star break, there are some that worry. Now, you know, we kind of like what we see with the Cavs and the chance to be back in the finals and looks like Golden State, but as a league, a lot of people, even Charles Barkley, wondering about parity. You got Orlando, Atlanta, Phoenix, Dallas, Sacramento, Memphis, all just sitting at 18 wins. What's your take on this league right now?
Well, I think it's just like it's been in the past, except there's been one significant difference. Teams are playing more rookies. They're playing more second and third year players. who usually, if you're not a superstar, are still coming off the bench. Teams are putting them in their lineups. I asked someone to pull some numbers. I think it was since 2006, this is the most minutes that rookies have ever gotten. And it's because of the style of play. This is a very similar play. It's very similar to their AAU, maybe their high school, fast pace. You know, shoot on the break. You don't have to wait for your bigs. It's a little bit different style of play. To me, and I was talking to Isaiah Thomas, the real Isaiah Thomas, Hall of Famer, he mentioned to me that the style of play is very similar to how we played on the playgrounds. You know, when you're choosing sides and there's a line, you just take the guys who can score points or the guys who can get up and down the floor. And it's a wide open game. It resembles the old ABA style of play that we played when I was in the ABA.
You know, I've been a big Kentucky fan over the years. I'm not sure I really like Calipari and the one and done. Don't get me wrong. But I mentioned that with what you're saying. That's a great point. We're seeing a quick transition from what you could go see at some great AAU tournaments to then paying $100 and sitting in an NBA game then, huh?
You're exactly right, Bill. You're all over it. You're exactly right. It's a more exciting style of play, but it's also a very skilled style of play. Because they're not taking legitimate centers, legitimate power forwards, legitimate two guards. Now you've got to be able to do a little bit of everything. What this game has come down to is there's, they call it positionless, but that's a term because we just call it street ball. You get a guy who can handle the ball, you get a guy who can create his own shot and create for others, and you get a big who can block shots and, more importantly, can defensive rebound regardless of his size. And so that's what teams are doing.
And in most cases, you look over and a coach is just yelling, go, 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 right? Yes. Go.
Yes, you have to keep the floor spread and also give early opportunities. I think this style of play is playing right into the way LeBron James has made the adjustment as he's gotten older. From a slowdown, a ball dominant, which he still is, but he's playing faster and he's getting more stuff in transition. And now he's got some young guys who not only can play with him, but want to play for him. If you remember the game in Oklahoma City, he scored about 5 or 6 baskets when they passed to him because he was cutting or because he was open. Rather than him being the facilitator, he became the receiver. And that's a little bit different style of play, and that'll save him in the long run.
Great take. Good stuff. Jim Jones. Jim, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend, bud.
You too.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine?
Back in 95, I think it was, he recognized there's something with this punk sound. Vans Warped Tour and Kevin Lyman on the hotline this morning, the guy that kind of put it all together and started it all. This is Bill Wills. Kevin, good morning. Thank you for your time, by the way. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Bill. How are you?
Good, bud. Let me go back into the 90s. I mean, the clubs, the punk rock scene was starting to grow, and you recognized that, right?
Yeah, I was working in the clubs of L.A. where it was really happening. You know, bands like Circle Jerks, Bad Religion, all those kind of bands. And all the skateboard culture started growing, and we thought that, you know, the X Games were coming up, so I decided to pack up a skateboard ramp and a bunch of bands and cross country, and it turned into the Warped Tour, and we were going to go out for one summer. And now, 24 years later, we're getting close to wrapping it up, but I'm here in Cleveland for the Rock-Off.
I couldn't find Seaweed, by the way, but I thought I'd play a little Green Day at least. And I mentioned Green Day. I mean, we saw them inducted here in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is really an interesting embrace, if you will, for the Rock Hall a few years ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's strange now after all these years. I was over at the hall yesterday walking around and starting to see some of the bands that played with me. And you know, I was on that first Lollapalooza in 1991, and that was the first time I saw Blossom Amphitheater. And you know, on that one, you're starting to see some of those bands drop into the Rock Hall. So I guess it's if you hang around long enough, you'll see some of your friends at the Rock Hall.
Kevin, so kind with his time. He is in town with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Library Archives tonight. There's a free deal, 7 o'clock. He's going to talk more about history and with punk and with Vans Warped Tour. Get tickets at ticketing.rockhall.com. You also helping out with something that's really special. Here are our 2018 Tri-C High School Rock-Off, which gives you know, kids a chance to get together and play and be right there at the Rock Hall, too.
Yeah, Barry Gable from Live Nation's been trying to get me out here for years. And last summer I said, you know, I'm going to mark it on my calendar now. And I needed to come out and have a couple meetings with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in general. So we packaged it up into a weekend. So I'm looking forward to hanging out and talking tonight about all different kinds of things, history of music, and some of the things I've seen with youth in America today. And And then tomorrow, it's going to be a great time. Seeing young musicians is still one of my favorite things. And there's a lot of talent that I've seen come out of that event.
Kevin, I'll tell you, our mutual friend Barry Gable with Live Nation on Instagram, he's taken pictures with these high school bands. He looks as excited as if he were standing there with Fleetwood Mac or somebody. I mean, he loves doing this thing, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, I travel around the world, and there's no one that supports local music more than Barry Gable. I'll tell you that. He's always sending me links to music and telling me how great the bands are. And then when, you know, people talk about them in this town, and you need that. You need a strong culture of music for kids. I think it's a great diversion for them. And parents accepting their kids in bands, they didn't really do that back in the 80s. We were all rebellious kids, and if you had a skateboard and, you know, you were looked down at it. Now parents are like, you know, pick up that guitar, you know, play some music. You know, it's a great diversion out there.
Kevin Lyman again tonight, 7 o'clock at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Library and Archives. Info at ticketing.rockhall.com. Final minute here. Just the music business. You started this when you saw the lines at the club. Radio had to do something because radio knew the popularity. And nowadays, there's so many different ways to get music. I mean, if you're a new band, you know, just get online somehow and get your music out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, there's so much good talent so early in life now because kids get influences from, you know, all over the world. We're used to just having, you know, you're trading records or cassettes, and you might get into one kind of sound. But now these people have so much exposure, you really see these hybrids of music coming out, and the talent level is so good. And it's weird when you judge these things. You're sitting there shaking your head, go, wait, another amazingly talented person at 15 years old. And that's the biggest thing. I tell them all to go keep having as much fun as you can. Enjoy it while you're in high school, and you know, then you make some choices whether you want to pursue it as a passion or just keep having fun with it.
Kevin Lyman. Kevin, thank you for your time this morning. Enjoy your time while you're on the ground here in Cleveland. Rock Hall tonight and helping out, too, with the judging at the Tri-C Rock Off. We appreciate it. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good weekend.
All right, be good. Every morning there's a hair.